E1, number 34B.
That mind which is our mind, and that the mind of God is the same mind as my mind, and because that mind which is God is my mind, therefore the mind of God is that which makes me seek, which makes me guide, which guides me, leads me, inspires me, gives me new thoughts, vision, enlightenment. It's that mind which makes me creative, which makes me apprehensive, which makes me giving the faculties of comprehension, of apprehension, of all seeing, all feeling, all hearing, all tasting. And you just get the sense that there is one mind. Yes. Yeah, perhaps another point I just want quickly to point out. Namely, in regard to the signs that controls change, that paradox that in one sense we want to have stability and in another sense we know that there must be change. That chart shows us something which is a main issue in the foremost thinkers of today, namely the question of variables and invariables in being. Being is invariable, and yet if being would only be invariable, we would have a static sense and not a changing sense. So there must be variables, and yet they should not contradict each other, invariables and variables. Now, this apparent contradiction can be solved by understanding the chart. If you have the chart in front of your mental eye, you know that in the chart we have such invariables. For instance, the Word of God is an invariable. It's the Word of God. The Christ is an invariable because it's the Christ. It's something very definite. It's an entity. The Christ doesn't change, it becomes many Christs. The Word doesn't change, it becomes many words. And so it is with Christianity, and so it is with science. As you look at the chart and see those terms stated horizontally there, as Word, Christ, Christianity, and science, they are invariables. They are what they are. If you look away, and then again to the chart, but from a different standpoint, you could say, but if I look at the levels per se are also invariables. The level of science itself is the level of science itself and can very definitely be distinguished from the level of divine science. So that divine science again is a constant, is an invariable per se, very distinctly distinguishable from the level of absolute Christian science and Christian science. So we can look at the chart horizontally and see them as variables. As invariables, or we could look at the chart vertically and see them as invariables. But, now this is the great solution, but if we look at them interconnected, as they are on the chart, namely where the horizontal and the vertical meet, then through that simple relationship, the variables, the invariables, become variables. Can you see? Say, let's take the vertical, the word per se is an invariable. It's the word. The word of God is fixed. But the moment we have an intersection with the levels, with another invariable, that invariable becomes variable. Namely, the word in divine science means something different than the word in absolute Christian science. And something different in Christian science. You see, an invariable becomes variable. But how really? Actually, only in so far, and this solves the paradox, only in so far that through the intersection a certain aspect of an invariable is accentuated. Not because the word becomes different in divine science and in absolute Christian science, but the accentuation of the invariable is brought forth through the point of intersection. And that makes the word, which is an entity, appear to be so manifold, and therefore takes on hues of divinity, various views and hues of divinity. So in this way you can see that invariables crossing through the levels of other invariables bring forth variable appearances, variable accentuations. The same would be true if we look, say, at absolute Christian science as an invariable horizontally, but the moment it touches the word, absolute Christian science has a certain accentuation. The spotlight goes on a certain accentuation of absolute Christian science, namely the word spotlight. The Christ spotlight to absolute Christian science brings into focus another accentuation of absolute Christian science. But still, the level of absolute Christian science is what it is. It's invariable. But its accentuation becomes different. And this is what makes, you know, what is really the root of language. Language is nothing else but to have these synonymous terms and cross-breeding synonymous terms, so to say. The new investigation into language shows that everything, so to say, starts with one word, so to say. Usually it's ma. And from ma, through cross-sectioning with different accentuation, giving it different accentuation, can unfold and unfold, becomes mater, matter, mater, alma mater, mother. And it flows on and flows on. And these new investigations are enormously interesting because it shows that language is nothing else but the ability really to be able to combine synonyms with each other. It's a synonym language. Synonym means that synonymous terms have a common denominator with each other, but that in various ways they accentuate something different. That's the synonymous term. And it's most interesting. Here we have the very same thing, that fundamentally we have principle. The moment we have principle, it asks for classification. The moment we have classification and bring classification into intersections, we get new variations of that principle. So that actually the whole chart is nothing else but the one principle in its infinite variations of principle. That's why Mrs. Eddy says the central synonymous term is principle and includes the others. Because mind, spirit, soul, and life, truth, and love are only different accentuations of principle. And through different accentuation of this principle, through the other synonymous terms, you get the levels. You get the four orders. Can you see? The implication of this chart, you know, I naturally have my fun. Say, I can see that sometimes, say, this chart lies around and perhaps somebody of the family who is not interested in science sees it, or say a maid sees it, or the cook, or anybody, an outsider sees it and looks at it and says, what a funny thing, huh? What a funny thing. They haven't the faintest idea that they look at infinity, at infinitude, huh? At the structure of the infinite. They don't even realize that they are in it, that that's their structure. Huh? Can you see what it means to understand symbols? Symbols do not need to be words. Symbols can be arrangements, can be lines, separating them in categories, putting them into certain arrangements, and things like that. Seeing that variables become invariables, or the other way around, I want to say. So, an enormous field opens up in the measure as we can understand this chart. Now, we have seen that this chart is really depicting as well the structural sense, as well as the cybernetic sense, as well as the comprehensive sense of being. The chart is a help to symbolize being itself. And it has a great disadvantage, namely that it represents the model of being on a two-dimensional surface. Whereas being is omnidimensional, and so every representation on a two- or three-dimensional surface is not quite right. Therefore, when you look at the chart, know that really what we have been seeing is that the cybernetic sense says that the Word is leading to the Christ and to Christianity, and science feeds it back to the Word, so that really we should have it round together like this, where the science joins the Word. And so it makes a circle instead of, as it is shown, in a linear way, with beginning and end. Furthermore, we have seen that science, the level of science itself, translates itself through the various levels in order to appear at the end as principle again, which means that this chart really should also be horizontally a circle, like this. So if we have a circle horizontally and a circle vertically, that naturally makes a three-dimensional representation like a sphere. Just as you have a globe, and sometimes you have a geographical map that is two-dimensional instead of the globe that is three-dimensional. But even if we represent it three-dimensionally, it's not quite right. Because it's still in a three-dimensional space sense, whereas being is spiritual and has infinite dimensions, has spiritual dimensions. And so we can perhaps still more approximate the symbol by thinking that instead of having a sphere like a globe, we have a glass globe, a transparent globe, because on a globe you only see one part when you look at it, and never the whole in one view. Whereas if it would be transparent, we would see the whole globe in one view. So a transparent sphere would be much nearer to what we can see here. Namely, that first of all, the chart has no beginning and no end. So the moment you have it three-dimensional, a globe has no beginning and no end. It has a limited surface, but is unlimited, unconfined. See, that's another paradox, that a globe is limited but unconfined. You can start anywhere and for all eternity go around and around and around, never come to an end. So it's endless. That's perhaps the best term. A globe, a sphere is endless, but has a limited surface, because you can calculate the surface exactly to the last inch. So those two terms are not contradictory, they are just relating to different aspects. It's unlimited, or it's endless when you consider it linearly, but it is limited when you consider it in the way of surface measurement. Can you see again how things can seem to be a paradox as long as we don't state from which standpoint each statement of the paradox is made? Now, we could go a step further and see that with this infinite transparent sphere, you have no beginning. So the chart doesn't begin somewhere, actually. And this is now an introduction into the practice. I will spend the rest of this week for the practice of Christian Science with the chart. So let's remember that the chart is only a limited representation of a completely unlimited subject, and therefore, like a sphere, has no starting point and has not a point where it ends. Only the way as we have been discussing it now in an analytical way, we had a starting point and a, what is the other point? An end point. But in reality, there is no starting point and no end point, which means that if we go to practice and we have to use it in as practice, that we do not need to start somewhere. We can start anywhere in practice, because practice means that we take the whole in the comprehensive view. So that gives you from now on, for the rest of this week, a sense that no one tells you, is an authority who tells you where to start your treatment on the chart. We'll see how we will start, but nothing is a must. So don't feel now that in order to use that chart, you must start either with the level of science itself, or that you must start with the word in Christian Science. In being, there is no human must. There is only a divine must. No human must. So from now on, when we do then these exercises, you will see how often perhaps you would think, now we must come to this point and must do that and must this. There is now no more a must because I have shown you the whole thing is one comprehensive you, transparent sphere where everything is right in view. There is no beginning, no end. And in addition to that, every place in a transparent globe reflects every other place. So that when you view the chart, say, as a globe, you always see how every aspect reflects each other aspect. And therefore, no more just in that arrangement which we had it on the chart. Did you get that? Up to now, we followed a very definite arrangement. Either we followed from the word, then we must go to the Christ, and then that is followed by Christianity, and then by science. Or we said we start in an arrangement way with science, and then to divine science, then to absolute Christian science and Christian science. But when we have a comprehensive view, you don't have any more those arrangements. Then every aspect of the chart reflects every other aspect of the chart. Everyone. Can you see how we put things together again, that we come to the synthesis of what we have analyzed and to a comprehensive sense? Which means that if you start in practice, when you have a problem and you think about it, a positive problem, negative problem, doesn't matter, and you start somewhere with the chart, that there is nothing humanly that tells you because you start now with the word you have to go to the Christ, because on the chart the arrangement is that next to the word is the Christ. You don't need to do that. Now you have no more linear arrangement in such an infinite reflection. But every part is intimately, directly connected through reflection with every other part. So that in treatment, thought can flow from one point to the other in an absolute scientific way. And the moment I have said flow, I have given you the keynote of what we want to do, namely to take that chart and show it as a flow chart. And what we'll do for a few hours to come is to do that flow charting. You know what the flow chart is in cybernetics? It's somehow similar as you have it perhaps when you once look at a chart of your electric installations in your home. Perhaps you have such a chart at home, I don't know. Usually one gets, when one builds a house, such a chart where it shows where the electricity comes in from the road and from there how it flows to the upper stories, to the lower stories, from one story, within one story, from one room to the next room and so on. If you turn the switch here and have the fuse there and so on, how the electricity flows. In cybernetics, this is much more important because in cybernetics you must have a flow chart always where it shows how the information which you have are searched out, always going through certain switches, certain yes and no decision. A whole computer is built just on that dual binary system of yes and no, or impulse and no impulse. Every reasoning is cut down always just to a decision of yes or no. I think you know that in the binary system you have just two values, the one and the naught, and all the numbers are written out just with one and naught, and the arrangement of one and naught indicate the value. Because electricity doesn't calculate, it doesn't know a 1 and a 2 and a 3, It only knows that it can flow or not flow. That it can flow through or not flow through. That's all what electricity can do. And on that very simple fundamental fact is built up the whole computer and actually every cybernetic system. So they therefore have to draw for their program, when they program anything, they have to draw a flow chart, how the information flows and comes always to a decision of categorization and says, I go in this channel and not in that channel. When it goes in this channel, it comes again to a decision, go in that sub-channel and not in the other sub-channel, and so on and so on. You get a great sense of that law of selection, that law of ordering, of hierarchical ordering, that is embedded into it. Now, therefore, they call that a flow chart, and so we could take that term and apply it to treatment, because what is treatment? Namely, that our consciousness flows from one idea to the next idea. Treatment is really to be so still and be able to listen to the impact of the divine idea, and that divine idea leads thought. And the way it leads thought is a flow, and therefore if we take our chart and put into it the flow of a treatment, then we really get a flow chart. Yes.